We Will Not Be Tamed, a Texas Parks and Wildlife Foundation podcast that encourages all Texans to get involved in conserving the wild things and wild places of our state.
I'm Lydia Saldana with the Texas Parks and Wildlife Foundation, and today we're going to be talking with Randy Rischer and Vince Petronella. They're the co-chairs of the Region 4 Gear Up for Game Wardens Committee. That's the Upper Texas Coast. And we're going to be talking about the Gear Up for Game Wardens program. Thank you for being with us today, guys.
Thank you. Good morning.
Glad to be here. Good morning.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about the Gear Up for Game Wardens program. We'll touch on the great work that the game wardens do across the state. We're going to tell you how you can help your local wardens. And I bet we're going to get to a lot of other stuff first. I mean, too. But let's start first with the origin story of Gear Up, because it starts with you two. Why don't y'all tell the story of how Gear Up for Game Wardens came to be?
Sure, Lydia, it's funny. Vince and I are in Port O'Connor right now where the Gear Up started, basically. We were at a taco stand, of all places, having breakfast and got to visiting with the captain down here at the time. And I didn't realize the needs outside of the normal needs that game wardens, what they need for specialty equipment and so forth, until the captain had kind of informed us of some of the stuff. So our first donation was Vince and I donated 2 four-wheelers to the Region 8 game wardens. And I didn't realize that their newest four-wheeler was 15 years old. So that's kind of something that's a little bit outside the scope that the state funds for them. So we were able to put that together, and it really made a huge difference in their job and their capabilities and so forth. Vince, you may want to follow up on that.
Yeah, and absolutely. You know, that conversation started with the drugs that were being flowed into Matagorda Island and how they were patrolling that island and trying to intercept all of that traffic and everything. And lots of times they were in pursuit to try to get to a location and never were able to make it because their equipment had broke down. On that island, when you have a piece of equipment that does not get you from point A to point B, well, then you're a little frustrated. So Randy and I realized the situation, and we were able to go in and with proper help from the company that I work for, Silver Eagle, Mr. Now, was a big part of it. And then Randy, with his company, were able to go in and purchase those four-wheelers and got a really good deal, work with the foundation to purchase those and put it in the hands of those game wardens or in Region 8 for actually this area down here. And it was a life-changing deal. It really got us thinking how we could move forward with really developing a program that would be a statewide program that would help other regions and other districts, not just so for the regions, but the districts that were in much need of equipment to get their daily job done in a better way with the state-of-the-art equipment, allowing them to do that. So yeah, that was kind of the beginning.
I was going to say, I can fill in a little bit of from the foundation point of view, because I remember when Susan Houston came back to the team and said, hey, these two guys from Houston have come up with this idea, and let's see what we can do to kind of flesh it out and bring it to life. And I remember the brainstorming session when we came up with the name Gear Up for Game Wardens. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, a big part of the Gear Up for Game Wardens program is the website, gearupforgamewardens.org. And we spent several months developing that website. And the cool thing about it, and anyone out there who's gone to it knows, you can narrow down right to the region of the warden in your backyard. And they've got a wish list of the equipment that they need the most. And you can donate directly to that, and 100% of those donations go to Gear Up. So that was, October 2017 when we officially kicked it off. It got slowed down a little bit by Hurricane Harvey. And I want to talk about that in a little bit. But since that date, and I talked to Austin right before we recorded this podcast, we're at $1.4 million raised.
Wow. Yep.
Since That's October awesome. Of 2017. It's an amazing, amazing story. Let me just ask you guys, what why do you think there's been such a positive response to it?
Well, let me back up a little bit. When Vance and I had originally got to thinking about it, and then we met with Susan and Annie, and Commissioner Moriam, who's a good friend of mine, had directed me to the foundation initially with the idea of what we were trying to do. And once we kind of got the name and everything, I said, Vince, we've got to have a goal. So I said, let's set 50,000 as a goal, knowing that he and I were going to do probably 30% of that through our budgets on conservation and so forth. And so I said, I know I can get 30,000 if I had to go arm wrestle a bunch of people to get some money out of them. Well, needless to say, once we started, within 30 days, we had already raised over 50,000, I think was the number, 60 or something like that. And I think we didn't realize the impact of landowners and people that own properties like I do in Port O'Connor, how much they really cared about their game. And I think it's the easiest. I distribute fitness equipment, and it's the easiest sale I've ever made in my life is selling the Gear Up for Game Wardens program. So not to get off track, but I think the key is people had been kind of looking for something like this maybe, and it's a no-brainer. And whether you own a farm or a ranch or a hunting lease or whatever, you want that environment protected. And, you know, everybody wants for their own kids what we had growing up far as hunting opportunities and fishing opportunities. And the game wardens are the biggest key to that. So that's what I think.
I agree, Randy, 100% on the contributions that are distributed through companies and what they look at, or even through individuals. We're so big into conservation with all of the organizations that are out there. They all have a value to my heart, and I know they do to you. We support all of them. We're involved in them very heavily, and we are some of the decision makers and things that go on within our area that we do business with. And so it really lets you see the true picture of what's important to people. And I think what's important today that really got this program kicked off is that when you deal with fundraising organizations, when we went into Austin to talk to the powers to be, Carter and Colonel Jones, and sat down and really had that conversation and the true values of what's important and how this program would touch people to get them involved, knowing that it was a thought. Where it would go, we didn't know. We had our goal, which was the 50,000. I think the biggest selling part of it all is to know that the foundation really helped us and developed a program that set the pace at being 100% of your dollars that you were contributing to it were going to what you wanted it to go to. If you wanted to buy that piece of equipment, or if you wanted to make that contribution donation, you knew that you had a say-so at where your money was going. So I know you asked the question about, you know, how does people really look at that, and how it became a big part of the success of the 1.4 million. Well, I think that's the answer right there, is that people have a say-so in this program when they're a donator or a contributor to it. And as far as I know, as I said, we deal with a lot of conservation organizations, and they're all great, serve a wonderful purpose, but it is one of the only ones that I know of out there that literally contribute 100% of your dollars back into the program. And very successful.
Lydia, yeah, and Lydia, and I think too, it's even down to the point where, and you know, you always want big donors, but it's where a person can go on the website and say a pair of snake boots are $300. Well, you know, as just say you're, you know, a normal working person like most of us, that, hey, I can go on there and buy a pair of snake boots, and you really feel like you have made a difference, and you have made a difference. And I think that's, you know, we have large donors, but we have a lot of small donors too. And I think it's, and they know, look, I put a pair of snake boots on a game warden that's walking through West Texas, you know, with rattlesnakes and everything else. And it makes you feel good about it. And you can actually see where as little as a $300 contribution makes a difference.
Or even smaller than that. And I want to interject I want to interject with a little anecdote that the chairman, Dan Flournoy, of the statewide citizens committee told me about, because there was a game warden that rescued a man who had wandered from his home with dementia. I believe this was in West Texas. Mm-hmm. And it was a game warden with gear that had been acquired through the Gear Up for Game Warden program. They were able to find that man and bring him home safely to his wife. And they weren't big money donors. They didn't have a lot of money, but that woman, she wanted to know how she could give back. Mm-hmm. And I think it was like $100 donation. So a relative, yes, maybe even less than that.
Right.
But Dan told me, he said, that donation touched me more than just about anything else. It's everybody can donate and can make a difference. And it's also kind of a realization of how game wardens touch every aspect of our life. Now, I mentioned that we kicked the program off in October of 2017. Originally, we were going to do it earlier than that. But as y'all recall, in late August of 2017, Hurricane Harvey roared to shore. And that was another great example of how Texas game wardens come into play, you know, during times of disasters like that. As I recall, there were like 10,000 rescues that were made in the Houston area. And it was Texas game wardens with their equipment, with their airboats, that were able to be on the front lines of that effort. And it just kind of underscores that game wardens are there for the people of Texas day in and day out. And it comes down to the relationship, you know, with the people of Texas, with landowners. And I wanted to ask each of you, tell me a little bit about your experiences growing up with game wardens, your experiences now with game wardens. You want to share an anecdote or two about that?
The word game warden is such a powerful statement, name, what they represent, their loyalty to what they do. As a child growing up, blessed to be able to have the opportunity to be outdoors a lot and to enjoy the passion that I have for hunting, fishing, and just anything dealing with outdoors. And so you start to really put that in a perspective, and you look at everything that goes on with a title of a game warden and their ability to be able to serve, protect, and give knowledge back, because these guys are the frontline people that are protecting our natural resources. And as an outdoor person, you learn to become very involved with conservation. You learn you learn the ins and outs of what it takes to have a good fishery, what it takes to manage a piece of property, what it takes to get people involved, children and things with outdoors, and that value extends on. Well, those guys are no different than the love of what we had for it. They just took it into a career and have actually made it better. I think about it often. I think, what would life be like without somebody protecting those natural resources and that wildlife that is out there and everything? And I can tell you, we probably wouldn't have production like we do. We probably, the fish that we catch and the good trips and the good hunting trips and all of that, it's all due to those guys to be able to keep an eye on on it day in and day out. So they're very valuable. And so they become a big part of my life at a very young age. I understood what they were doing. I had very good friends that were game wardens, and it inspired me to be able to look and follow their careers and stuff like that. And, you know, probably if it was at one point in my life, probably something that I considered doing. I had an opportunity to go to work for a major company at an early age, and I did, and I'm still there. 36 years later, I'm still with that same company, and it's been great. But I've been able to, in my position, I've been able to be the lucky one that for my passion for the outdoors, I've been able to give back and represent our company and the programs that we're involved in.
Aubrey, growing up, you know, it was, we talked about it last night at dinner, how much fun we had growing up and hunting, and from every hunting season that was available. And then when hunting season was over, was fishing. And when we were young, we were all a little wild, I guess. So I was a little scared of the game warden and intimidated by them a little bit, and tried to get around them as much as, or get away from them as much as possible. But, you know, after I got to know them as I got older and I started understanding, you know, the benefit they give to us as a society, and what they contribute to a society, they're special. They're like a school teacher. You know, you don't become a game warden to get rich or anything. You become a game warden because you're very compassionate. And I think out of the 551 game wardens we have, I have not met one of them that is just amazingly passionate about what they do. And that just, for me as a business owner, it's just, I wished I could get 551 employees that had the same mindset that they have. So I just have a whole new, as I've gotten to know better and better, admire them even more and more. So it's definitely a special person that does what they do.
Yeah. You know, we talked earlier about how anybody can go online and contribute. You know, no amount is too small. And every single penny is spent on the equipment that these game wardens need. But I would like to point out that you two have become the fundraising powerhouses of the Gear Up for Game Wardens program. And again, I got a little cheat sheet from Austin Taylor. And Austin Taylor, just to share with the listeners, he works for the Texas Parks and Wildlife Foundation. He's the manager of the program. And he's the one, he gets to shop all the time. And he is a master at getting these incredible deals on things from like side scan sonars. You mentioned snake boots. He negotiates with these companies to get the absolute best price. He turns that money, you know, that comes in immediately into equipment that ends up on the ground with the game wardens. Austin Taylor is amazing. But anyway, he gave me a little cheat sheet before this conversation, and he just told me about some of the fundraisers y'all have done in the last couple of years that have just been amazing. Do y'all want to talk a little bit about any of those?
Ever had in my life. And let me just say one thing, Lydia, too. It's, I don't want people to think that the game wardens don't have the equipment they need. The state provides them everything that they need. And Carter Smith and our new Colonel Jones, they have all the needs that they need. What we're Gear Up's all about is giving them those specialized items that they wouldn't necessarily be able to get. And as you know, some of them can be expensive, but you know, snake boots are not that expensive, or a pair of binoculars or whatever. So I just want everybody to know that the game wardens are equipped, you know, with everything that they need, and Gear Up is just an add-on to add, you know, the real specialized things that can really even make their job even easier.
And just to give an example of that, let's give some examples. I'm really glad you made that point, because the state does provide the basic equipment that every game warden needs. What we're talking about is gear like, for example, a side scan sonar that might be on a boat, like in the busy central Texas lakes. And unfortunately, drownings happen. And right now, this is the season when drownings happen. And that work can be incredibly dangerous for our game warden divers mm-hmm. that go down. And if there's a side scan sonar, they know exactly where to be, where that body might be, where they're not going to put themselves in danger. A thermal drone is another example of a piece of equipment that, you know, they might be able to find a lost kayaker. And I'm actually speaking of an example that I know happened in Central Texas, that a thermal drone was able to find two people that had been stranded for over 12 hours. They didn't have food, they didn't have water. And because of that thermal drone, the game wardens knew exactly where to go. And they picked them up, they rescued them. And so that's an example of the specialty of gear that's kind of above and beyond what the standard issue gear that a game warden gets on their duty assignment. So thanks for pointing that. Thanks for pointing that out.
Yeah, you mentioned the side scanner. The example that we used at one of our fundraisers was one of the wardens presented it because he had that on a Lake Conroe drowning. From the time he got the call, within getting the boat hooked up, unloaded, 58 minutes later, he had found the body. And you know, that gives the family closure. Yeah. It's and plus he's done it in a safe way, where before you'd have to have a team of divers in the area. You may go hours or even days before finding that body. So that's just, you know, one of the examples of how, you know, important that Vince and I feel that it is to be able to provide some of these items.
The equipment that is provided, there's nothing out there. I mean, I want you to understand, or everybody listening to understand, that we sit down with the majors of the regions, especially we represent Region 4. So through the Region 4, there's five districts, and it's a large region, covering lakes to coastal stuff to the city of Houston. So you got a lot of inner city stuff that goes on. So with that, each district and each region develops a list that is conducted and put together by the wants of what is needed. And we look at that list and we evaluate it, and we're able to give our input. And at that point, they can go to the website, the Gear Up for Game Wardens website, and be able to look up that district or that region that they're in and find those needs of what is out there. And then at that point, you can make your purchase or your contribution to put it towards. There is a general fund that is built into that, where your money is allocated however it is best needed for at that certain time. So those lists currently change from time to time. As items are purchased, they are taking off the list and new things are inserted into their place. So, you know, there is, over the last 3 years, since 2017, there's been lots of equipment that has been bought, and it's been lots of diverse things. So we try to focus on large scale stuff, which is really a need for a region to be able to use, as well as a district.
Right.
The smaller stuff, as Randy talked about before, is the most common stuff, and it kind of fits the level of contributions coming in. It goes a long way.
Right.
But we look at it at both ways. So therefore, the drones, which Lydia, I know you talked about a little while ago, has been a major part of the success of this whole program. And going into the first meeting that we ever had in Austin with the powers to be from Texas Parks and Wildlife, we sat there, and that was brought up in that meeting. And at that time, the state had one drone.
Right.
That was used to in search and rescue or right. situations. It was used, and at times it took a couple of days to get
it where it needed to go.
Yeah, right. To where it needed to go. And so yeah.
And you know what? I also want to make the point about those drones. They're search and rescue drones. I want to make sure that people understand that they're not being used for enforcement. They are search and rescue drones. So I want to make that point.
Absolutely. And so with that time period of needing it in a situation right now and not having
Texas is a big place,
waiting,
right?
And everything, it became a really demanded item. And so Randy and I really put a lot of emphasis on pushing the program to get drones. And I think some of the other regions and co-chairs that represent the same thing that we done saw that that was a focus and a goal too. And so currently right now, I don't know what the number of drones purchased for the whole state is, but I know in region four, we've got two thermal drones that have been purchased at about $27,000 a piece. And
right.
So, you know, that's a big impact. And I know, like I said,
and
the
it's
other
life-saving.
Regions,
in it some cases, life-saving. It's absolutely life-saving. And back to that example that I mentioned before, they found those people in the middle of the night and they found them through the heat signature. And if they hadn't had that piece of equipment, they would have been out there for at least another 12 hours. They were out of water. It literally is a life-saving deal. One other thing I'd like to talk about are the partnerships that have happened as a result. It's kind of amazing to me, and there's no way that I can rattle off all of the partners. But certainly, like I know that some of the fundraisers y'all have done, you've partnered with the Saltwater Anglers League of Texas. I know the Sabine River Authority has been involved. I know that the Safari Club, different chapters across the state, the Stewards of the Wild have been involved as well. Are there any other partners that you in particular would like to call out and mention?
OGT, which is a Operation Game Thief, has been a partner, and we kind of go hand in hand. And Vince and I both are involved with OGT as well. But, you know, they gave a very nice donation last year as well, and I think that needs to be recognized as well.
That's awesome.
Some of the other conservation organizations, two of the leaders that are out there, CCA,
mm-hmm.
Coastal Conservation is involved with Operation Game Thief. They're also involved with Gear Up for Game Wardens. CCA has done a really good job to help purchase a lot of needed equipment over the years for Texas Game Wardens. And Ducks Unlimited is another one that is a big supporter. And so you have these organizations that represent kind of a conservation organization, and they're doing their own thing to raise money to put habitat back in to all of these coastal areas and Central Texas and West Texas and everywhere throughout the state. But you also, they're contributing dollars that they raise and give a portion of that back to some of the things that we're doing with Gear Up and some of the events that we're involved in with OGT and Gear Up for Game Wardens, which is very special to have those on our side as a partner. And you know, without the game wardens, you can put all the habitat you want. If it's not patrolled right and it's not looked after, then how good really is it with protecting that wildlife that uses it and the fisheries that we have and everything?
Hey, Randy, I want to go off on a little bit of a tangent here because I just mentioned Stewards of the Wild. And of course, Stewards of the Wild is the young professionals organization with chapters all over the state, kind of organized and led by the Texas Parks and Wildlife Foundation. And one of the things that the Stewards group has done in the last couple of years is do mentored hunts. Mm-hmm. And I understand that you hosted one of those. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Oh, yes. It was, probably one of the funnest times I've ever had with, you know, you're used to bringing young kids out and teaching them what it is to duck hunt and so forth. And, but you know, I didn't know what it would be like, because I think all of the youngest was maybe 28 years old, and they were up to 38 years old, but it's people that had never hunted before. And we have a lodge here in Port O'Connor we took them out deer hunting. I think there was four or five that came. And so we gave them the full experience of the same way we would bring one of our customers. We gave them completely I told them, I said, there's good and bad about this. Good, you're getting to go duck hunting at the best way you could ever go. The bad is you're going to be spoiled. And when somebody says go duck hunting, you're going to be thinking, okay, well, I'm going to go how Randy took us. And it's not always like the way Randy or Vince does it.
You so, set the bar high, right?
Yeah, exactly. So it was a really, really neat experience. And they were all so grateful. And we went out and fortunately, each one of them was able to get their own duck and a redhead. They all got red, and I think they all mounted them. But we did an afternoon hunt, and then I had dinner served for them. And then we have a little game room here, and we played around, did fun stuff, and then got up the next morning and did it over again. And then when they came in, they had a big breakfast waiting on them and everything. And you know what? We just got four new hunters. Whether it's duck hunting or, you know, we talked about all kind of hunting, and these are four people that would have never, ever probably went out if it wasn't for the program that you're talking about. And so I made a commitment. We're gonna do that every year. And my goal as a outdoorsman is we need more and more people buying hunting and fishing licenses and experiencing what Vince and I grew up and we've just take for, you know, that it's just common, but it's not. So anyway, it was really, really an awesome experience. And I think if you interviewed either one of the four people that were here, they would probably, you know, all of them said that it's the most funnest thing they've ever done.
I have actually interviewed several of the folks that have been involved with hunts, you know, across the state. And it's a life-changing experience for them. It opens their eyes to obviously hunting and fishing, the role of conservation, of why we all need to be committed to caring for it. And we thank you so much for that. And Randy, you just can't keep giving. I understand you've just been, you've just accepted an appointment onto the Texas Parks and Wildlife Foundation board.
Yes. Well, I've been on, I think, over a year now.
Okay.
So yeah,
okay.
It's really a... what a great organization. And I'd like to say, you know, and Vince would probably echo this, if it wasn't for the Texas Parks and Wildlife Foundation, Gear Up wouldn't be Gear Up. And and it's really just from top to bottom, it's just, it would have never happened if it wasn't without the foundation.
Well, and it starts with a great idea. It starts with a great idea. And you guys brought that idea, you know, to fruition. And I just can't thank you enough. I appreciate your time. I do want to say one thing, because of course we talked about gearupforgamewardens.org, and anyone who's listening who wants to donate to the warden in your backyard, you can go onto that map and click down and see exactly what's needed. But I do want to say, you know, yes, absolutely. Every dollar that's donated for that program goes directly to equipment, but there are operational costs associated with the program. And one of the things that we're doing is we've got this really awesome sticker, and I bet you both have one on your truck, right?
Yeah.
A friend of the Texas Game Warden sticker that folks who want to help with the administration of this program can go online and donate to that. And I would encourage you to do that. I just want to say again, thanks to both of you for taking time out of your fishing day to be with us.
And, you're welcome.
And again, if you guys, whoever's listening, if you want to help support this wonderful program, go to gearupforgamewardens.org.
Thank you, Lydia. We appreciate it. And for everyone out there, if you don't know about it, please look into the program. And it I'm telling you, it's one of the best I've ever been involved with.
I agree. Really glad to be a part of it. Very proud. You know, in life, we try to accomplish goals that are unreachable. This was something that we didn't know where it would go, how big it would be, and the final results are going to be huge. years down the road, this is a program that's going to be around that will be intact. It'll be a whole lot better as it grows and more people get involved with it. So Randy and I are very proud and to be the front runners of it and start something that hopefully will be life-changing for these game wardens and what they do for us, giving back a little bit to them is a wonderful feeling. And I want to thank Texas Parks and Wildlife Foundation for having us today and being able to tell our story. And like I said, it's a great story. We're very proud of where we're at with it at this current time.
Thank you both.
Thank you, Lydia.
Brought to you by Texas Parks and Wildlife Foundation, We Will Not Be Tamed calls us all to appreciate the wildness of Texas, the vastness of our Texas spirit, and why we should be inspired to conserve it. Find out more at wewillnotbetamed.org.